So some people intend their actions for nefarious purposes. I have no idea what he's talking about there, but there are some people who are actually evil or do evil things.
Right.
And this is all that we might see, right? The taking of all the widows and older folks' money into a penny stock that was pumped and dumped, and the person got away scot-free, and they're living in the Bahamas. The laws can't touch them. But God intends those same actions for a greater good. Like Genesis 50:20, it's the brothers and Joseph, you intended for evil, God intended for good. So why would I want to kill you? This is exactly where God has placed me. And don't we see the kind of end result there is I was able to save many people, Joseph is saying at the end there. So don't fear, I'm not going to kill you because, this isn't an act. I really enjoy you being here.
Right.
But we don't always see the good. We in certain places in Scripture, like Genesis 50:20, we do see kind of the end result there. But there are a lot of times we don't see the good that's produced from the evil. Mm-hmm. So the pump and dump stock, I don't know what happens to that guy.
He has a good time in the Bahamas. Right? To me.
does he get a sunburn? Does something nefarious happen to him as well? Is this idea of karma, which is definitely not a Christian one, but we tend to like to have that saying of, well, at least he got something in the end. In the Twilight Zone, there'd be a twist, and he'd find out that he traveled back in time where his money's worthless.
That's right. Or the Bahamas is full of monsters or something.
God has a specific telos to evil, an end, a goal, a design, something for that purpose. It has a teleological function. And this presupposes God's providential control over evil, as in Psalms 103:19 says. God especially causes all things, not just some things, not just one thing, not just a series of events that lead to one single event coming out, but all things, the good, the evil, the boring, the exciting, all the moments, every bright and blackened molecule to work for the greater good of his chosen one. And that's Romans 8:28. So all things work together for God, those love
him. For those who love God. Yeah. And also James teaches that the trials that test our faith are intended to produce within us perfect and complete character so that we're lacking no good thing within, right? James 1, 2 through 4.
If you're a college student, memorize the first two chapters of James and it'll help you get through the rest of the 4 years.
So he says we step back from our suffering and glimpse it from a cosmic perspective. And when we do that, it ought to produce a transcendent joy, James tells us, that no one can take away. Such evil then becomes, notice, necessary in order to forge a faith more precious than gold, is what 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 tells us. But is calculating the good from every instance of evil such an easy task, right? This happens, okay, well then the good happens. And so you have a kind of one-to-one, type of, can we see that every time and can we make that calculation? He says, is that really easy? And of course he answers that, no, it's not.
Right. Yeah. Although that was one of my answers for the metaphysics class that I had on God and Hume's issues that he had with God. But I always think, and I won't bring up a Lord of the Rings reference here, but this is reminding me of Saving Private Ryan. And spoiler alert, they saved Private Ryan. And at the
let's hope so. It was called Saving Private Ryan. Yeah.
Well, maybe it's just like I have a hope of Saving Private Ryan. But at the end, everyone that searched him out died, and he made it through. And at the end, he asked his wife, did I earn it? That's what Captain Miller, Tom Hanks' character, told him right before he died, was earn it. And he, was looking at the grave and he's like, did I earn it? Was my life worth all those people suffering and dying just to get me home? And then you kind of look in the background and there's his grandchildren and his children waiting for him and stuff like that. And so, can we say that a group of, I think it was 12 people searching for him. Was their sacrifice worth his one life? And then, you know, all the implications from that as well. So that's a hard task for us to do, especially when we're talking to people. Again, this isn't just some debate that we have amongst the hallowed halls of you know, higher society. This is mothers who lose their children, husbands that lose their wives. I mean, this is affecting our daily interactions with people who, when we tell them we're Christian and we have answers, they say, well, what about this thing that happened? Right. So this is definitely a reason why we want to make sure the answers that we have are biblically based and sufficient.
Right. And so it's, you know, it's, so he's suggesting here that we have an answer here with this greater good theodicy, but it, you know, that doesn't mean that we can match each bad thing with another good thing, nor that it's easy to say, well, there's a greater good,